go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running on day two of the pre-vacation week. The first one in more than a dozen years. Yeah, this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is live. That is where you go if you'd like to pick out a screen name and a password and jump into the chat room. Be part of the merry, madcap, zany, wacky, real-time extravaganza that is the chat that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Only today and tomorrow, the program's only live from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, because at 8 o'clock, which is 5 o'clock, I'm going to shut everything down, retool, reboot, and get everything set up to do two more hours substituting for the vacationing Mike and Kathy Malloy on Progressive Voices Network. And a reminder, if you want to tune in for that, and by the way, I don't recycle material, so both sets of two-hour programming are completely new stuff. If you want to participate in that, remember. I know. Last night was a bit of a thing. Hey, you know what's really wild? When there are technical problems and they aren't my fault. Oh, yeah. They're horrible. Horrible technical issues at the beginning of the Malloy program last night, and I apologize for them, but I neither caused them nor contributed to them. Yay. Yeah. But if you want to, just please, while I will have the Horn stream and the Head On Live, HeadOn.live stream up and running, it's best if we all listen via Progressive Voices. Mm-hmm. Right. Because, you know, better numbers that way. We're not worried about numbers over here, so it doesn't matter how you listen. So, if you're listening to the Horn via TuneIn, cool. If you're listening to the Horn via the embedded player at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, cool. If you're listening via the links at WhiteRoseSociety.org, cool. If you are listening via Roku, cool. If you're listening via Stitcher, cool. If you're listening via FYINation.com, cool. And any of a number of other platforms, cool. Okay? So that's where we find ourselves this evening. I hope that we will have about an hour and 55 minutes of awesome conversation this evening. Look, we're done with July. We are done with July. We nudged the Norsky, we licked the Lithuanian, we finished to the good, and now we begin a brand new month. Yay. Mm-hmm. And that means that means, you know, a whole new attempt to stay on the air for another month. And it being the first of the month, and thanks to Laborman and an anonymous a contributor who wishes to remain anonymous, what was once Shirley's Challenge has been transformed into Shirley's Memorial Challenge in memory of our dear friend Bruce, who created Shirley's Challenge years ago and passed away a couple of months back, and whose phone calls private, you know, he'd never call the program, but he would call me. And and we'd talk, and he'd share what was eating at him. Bruce was the one who came up with the idea of referring to the Confederate battle flag as the devil's diaper. Mm-hmm. Yep, the devil's diaper. So that was just part of his being, and he is no longer with us. And so Laborman came up with the idea, and an anonymous contributor, a contributor who prefers to remain anonymous, have teamed together to create Shirley's Memorial Challenge. How does that work? It works like any other challenge does. The challenge is on the table. $200 is on the table, a day's funding, and those $200 will double people's money if we raise $200. In other words, the entire evening's funding tonight, because we try to raise $200 a day. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12.50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, 64 at $3.13, and you know what we do with that rounded up half a penny? Well, I tell you what, that new, the new turtle wax job that we got on the Gulfstream 5 there, it's looking mighty fine. Oh, it sparkles, it does, with the horn logo up on the tail fin, and yeah. We had that left over after waxing the Horn Maybach, which is also done up in Horn logo colors. Big Horn logo on the back, yeah, on the hood, on the side. Agnes and I were out on the road today when we were apparently passed by Joey Logano's NASCAR, the one with the Pennzoil number 22 car. And, you know, I'm sorry, it's a little splashy and gaudy for me. I much prefer the more muted logo paint job with the horn logo all over the Maybach. But I'm just funny that way. If you pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump into the chat room, you will be met by chat room denizens Anatole and Hoghead and Jug of Punch and Laborman and Silent R. Lamar and Lizardo and V.T. Blom and Will in Chicago. And at some point in time, I had a note last night from midweek utility pinch hit chat room moderator Steve from Georgistan. That he had to exit the room. And I've checked in to see if he's okay. But anyway, that's who'll meet you. And there will be more wandering along presently, I presume. Hopefully we will, in fact, meet Shirley's Memorial Challenge this evening. And that'll keep us on track for me to be able to get out of town next week. I'm looking forward to it, I confess. I really, really am. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a heck of a week. But we've got to do all the fundraising for the for this week in order to make that happen. So if you want to help out, the PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. And if you're in, if you don't mind PayPal, well, gosh, you can just click that little little box that says make this a recurring monthly subscription or donation or whatever, and put in, you know, $10 or whatever, and boom, it'll just come out the same day every month, and there we go. If, however, and many, many, many thanks to our subscribers, they're the ones who, you know, provide the extra kick when our on-air fundraising fails to pull up, well, fails to reach its goals. If you don't like PayPal, just a gentle reminder, there is now over at Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon.com/Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, a brand new way to subscribe to the program. Okay. It's easy. And, you know, the standard premium applies. If you subscribe at the $10 level, you get a bumper sticker. If you subscribe at the $20 level, you get two bumper stickers. And down the road, if we could ever get, because the goal here is to come up with 400 $10 subscribers a month, and I'd say that we need about 357 of those to reach our goal. You know, we'll start talking about other kinds of cool premiums. And everybody gets an on-air mention when you subscribe. And thanks once a month, okay? Responding to that challenge. No, not challenge. It's not a challenge. No, to that campaign. I guess the word is campaign. Will go a long way toward letting me stop doing this part, which eats up precious minutes of the program. Okay? We've got some T-shirt ideas, by the way. Big fun. Yeah, big fun. So, thank you one and all in advance for keeping all of this going. I ran to the post office box to pick up our buddy Scott's check for the send Bob to the Funny Farm vacation challenge. Didn't run into any Klansmen. Didn't have to take the axe handle with me. But it was in the car, and you know, you keep it there just in case. Axe handle, old Louisville slugger, that kind of thing. You never know when the grand exalted dragon Cyclops Kleagel is going to be there. Of course, you know, being cowards, the Klan doesn't show up in their robes that much, no. Hey, thanks, Fab. Fab just subscribed over at Patreon. That's four. We now have four Patreon subscribers. And, you know, tell your friends and neighbors. Thank you, Fab. Thank you very much indeed. If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, it is available to you, of course. The address is for checks and money orders is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V 25801. Okay? They check some, like I said, payable to The Horn, not Bob Kincaid, with very, under only the most rare of circumstances do I see them. That's mostly Boss Manway's job. But Boss Man Wayne was busy. So there we go. All right. So we're done with all of that at 15 minutes past the hour. When we get 358 more folks at either clicking the box at headonradionetwork.com /contribute or going to Patreon and signing up that way, when we get 356 more people that way, we will this will go away, and won't it be wonderful? Sorry. All right. It's Tuesday, isn't it? Yep, by Jove, the first day of August 2017 falls on a Tuesday. Tuesdays are something special around here. Tuesdays are reserved for manifestations of titanic intellect. Not in a good way. Titanic in the way of, big lumbering ocean liners bearing down on icebergs regardless of the consequences. And we've got them. We've got them this evening. We've got them every Tuesday. Who am I kidding? Just a reminder, Titanic Tuesday is so named based on something that our buddy Jim heard many, many years ago now on right-wing radio over in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia, in which a guy who no longer broadcasts, well, it lasted him too, Steve, the world's most profoundly hypnotic monotone, broke his usual morning routine one day to take a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, who asked him, "Steve, how come it is that they is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? 'Cause see, Steve, I've been down in the mines for a lot of year, and sometimes I look up, and I can see them seashells in the top over top of me. That's why we call it the top in the mining business, 'cause it's not below you, it's on top. And I've seen palm fronds and ferns and seashells. How come you reckon that's all there, Steve?" To which Steve, having put down his copy of the Beckley Fish Wrap, a right-wing rag if ever there was one, replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." He wasn't joking. It wasn't a funny. No, not even a little bit. The Titanic plates. He was completely serious. The movement of the Titanic. Still, Still no word on the movement of the Titanic oyster shell pickup plates. Nope. Big table there on the Titanic. A lot of stuff on it. But that's where Titanic Tuesday comes from, because of course, the reason there are seashells is because, as difficult as it may be to comprehend, once upon a time, millions and millions of years ago. West Virginia and all of Central Appalachia, maybe all of Appalachia, was underwater. You know, the way that Miami and Tampa and Charleston and Wilmington, North Carolina, and the entire Outer Banks and all the coastal barrier islands and Louisiana and parts of Louisiana and New Orleans and Mobile and Biloxi and Gulfport and Balmer and parts of Washington, D.C. and New York City and maybe and parts of Philadelphia and parts and lots and lots of Boston and well, coastal cities all around the planet, the way that they will someday be underwater. And by someday, I don't mean like someday millions and millions of years from now. I mean someday like between now and the year, say, 2100. Right? Which is, you know, maybe most of us won't reach that. But you know what? My grandkids will, most likely. Their kids certainly will. And their grandkids will be absolutely contending with it and trying to figure out how to deal with it. You know, if, of course, we're still here. If, of course, we survive the presidency of Donald J. Dingus. Mm-hmm. But Appalachia was underwater one time. And there were sea creatures there. And there were swamps. And the giant fern palms fell over. And in this anaerobic environment, they just piled up over time. And then more stuff piled up on them, namely sand. And through the miraculous, it's all, it's perfectly explainable. But through geologic and tectonic processes, the sand got pressed into being rock on top of the decaying plant and animal matter and so forth, who left their imprints. And that's how you wind up with seashells in the rocks in West Virginia. And, you know, 100 years or so from now, this may all be beachfront property. Again with the sand. And maybe there'll still be coal companies out there saying, you know, we got 1,000 years more coal left in the new United States. You know, if there's a United States, for coal to be left in. I mention that because of something that I ran across over at Think Progress earlier today. Look, I share the happy news where we get it. Oh, okay. Brother Deacon Asus, admit it already, Kincaid. You're just jealous of Steve's great radio voice. Ah, plum eat up with it. Plum eat up with it. Once again, you have figured me out, Brother Deacon Asa, once again. Oh, and by the way, one other thing, with Fab jumping in, becoming a Patreon subscriber, guess what? That means that we have only $175 to go to meet Shirley's Memorial Challenge for this first day of August, and half of it will go to to our buddy Ben Birch over at WhiteRoseSociety.org to pay for the, assuming we make it, to pay for the servers that provide this program to you each and every night and provide the rerun stream as well. So maybe that's a little bit of extra incentive. Yes. Anyway, a little bit of good news. When the Obama administration left office and the gates were flung open to allow the barbarians to come barreling into our metaphorical city, one of the places the barbarians headed to first was the Environmental Protection Agency. It was sort of the polar opposite of what happened when we started our illegal war against the innocent people of Iraq. Yeah, you remember those heady days of 2003 when we sent troops barreling over to set up a cordon around and protect all the information and all the data and all the wealth at the Iraqi oil ministry? You remember that? I mean, that was a real priority in the taking of Baghdad, securing the Iraqi oil ministry, because remember, Iraqi oil was going to pay for the entire war and we were never going to be out a nickel for it. It wasn't going to affect the deficit. And we were going to be greeted as liberators. Oh, do you remember those heady days? Because I do. Meanwhile, while we were busily securing the Iraqi oil ministry, we kind of let the antiquities ministry just hang fire. No big deal. Screw it. And as a consequence, looters got into the Iraqi oil ministry, or antiquities ministry. And they stole precious artifacts, thousands upon thousands of years old, going back to the earliest days of humanity's first attempts to commit. And when you think of it in these terms, it becomes pretty impressive. Humanity's first attempts to commit ideas which are nothing more than thoughts, which are completely insubstantial. Humankind's first attempt to commit ideas to a representative form that we know today as data. In other words, the invention of writing. And hey, it took us, it took us 10, 15 years, but we eventually figured out what happened to some of those stolen antiquities. They were carried away and secreted by people who would later on go on to become ISIS, who hated the antiquities anyway, but saw in the antiquities a means of raising money to support their war to control the Middle East and set up the bad head-lopping caliphate. Now, bear in mind, I say the bad head-lopping caliphate because there's also a good head-lopping kingdom. That would be our dear friends and partners in peace, the Saudis, who, incidentally, you might, I mean, this is news, the Saudis have announced a major push to grow their tourism economy. And you know what? I guess there's always going to be a subset of humanity that want. We're all signed up to go to Saudi Arabia on the head lopping tour. We're guaranteed at least 10 head loppings while we're there. Imagine it. We can just stand there, and they'll bring out some poor Pakistani woman who was a nanny of a baby who just died of SIDS, you know, sudden infant death syndrome, and they'll drag her a kicking and screaming out into the street, and a feller in a black bathrobe with a sword about 9 foot long, he'll make her kneel down on the ground and bow her head in prayer to Allah, and then he'll whoop, lop her head right off. Hoo-wee! Where else on this earth can you get a tourism bargain like that? I'm a-axing you. Of course, you won't be able to, you know, unless you're a good Muslim, you won't be able to go to, well, you know, Mecca. But you can go to your Riyadh, and you can go four-wheeling out in the desert. And who wouldn't want to do that? No, the Saudis really, they've got a big push on to increase their tourism economy. And behold, here you see sacred Saudi sand, blessed by Allah himself. Yes. And behold, over here, we have more sacred Saudi sand, also blessed by Allah himself. If you will look immediately behind you, you will see yet again some more sacred Saudi sand, blessed, that's right, by Allah himself, because after all, the entire Saudi Peninsula is nothing but fucking sand. What are you people thinking? You actually paid money to see this shit? Take them away and lop their heads off. See, that's what I think. It's a secret plot to get more people to lop heads off of. Think about it. I mean, tourists coming over? Tourists are notorious for not knowing the particular ways and cultural mores of the countries they're visiting, and so they come over and they go and one of them accidentally jaywalks, and the next thing you know, you're on your knees praying to Allah out in the street, and a guy with a black bathrobe and a sword about 9 feet long is standing over you, hollering Aloha snack bar. And bloop. Great people, the Saudis. Great people. Our partners in peace. Dicks. Thank you, Clarity. Clarity's infidel of all infidels, you cast shade on holy Mecca. I did not cast shade. It is impossible to cast shade in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. And the tourists won't get to go there, nohow. But so you know, I mention all of that sort of tangentially, going back to the issue of the theft of the, right, yeah, and so, I mean, so the antiquities got looted because we didn't guard them because we were too busy guarding the oil ministry. And all of that, wow, what a lovely trip around the mulberry bush this has been. Because when the barbarians got through our not-so-metaphorical, as we would like for them to be, gates back in January, around January the 20th, the barbarians ran for the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. because that was going to be a linchpin to Comrade Kumquat's plan to MAGA us. We've been MAGA'd. You ever notice how dirty that sounds? Sounds like one of those things that that happens to you that you have to wind up getting a million units of penicillin injected into your ass to clear up. Been MAGA'd. Well, you know, next time, wash your fucking hands, would you? Right. Well, they went after the EPA. And as I mentioned last night, they've been going through there like ISIS members looting the Iraqi Ministry of Antiquities. They've just about torn up everything that wasn't nailed down, and they've taken a pry bar to what was. Talked a little bit last night about their revamping of the one-room EPA museum to make sure that it featured a clean coal display. Jesus. Still makes me want to throw things. But they weren't just vandals in physical terms. They were and are vandals and Visigoths and Huns in legal terms as well. Back during the Obama administration, the administration, through the EPA, using the authority granted to it under the Clean Air Act, created what are called performance standards for the oil and gas industry. And it became effective, the new performance standards. They became effective on August the 2nd, 2016. They've been worked on for quite some time, because the administrative process is a glacially slow process. And that process came to its natural and effective conclusion about a year ago, almost exactly. The creation of these performance standards had one purpose, and that was to reduce the amount of methane leaked into the atmosphere from modified oil and natural gas drilling wells and frack pads, both new and, you know, fixed, so-called fixed. And among other things, the rule required the people who own the wells and run the wells to monitor how much methane was leaking from their wells. Because methane is a really, really troublesome greenhouse gas. Far nastier, in fact, than CO2, which is nasty enough when you get right down to it. The difference being CO2 won't catch fire. Methane sure as shit will. Among other things, the oil and gas companies were also required to go and look for methane leaks. And they were required to have a schedule for doing that. And at new wells, the humble practitioners of hydrocarbon capitalism were legally required to catch the methane gas coming out of new oil wells and keep it from getting into the atmosphere. Yeah, I said it's worse than CO2. Methane traps heat 86 times more effectively than CO2 over the course of, say, 20 years. And so if you got a bunch of methane leaks, and they and all of these wells leak, they're filthy as shit, then any offset you might have hoped to get by burning gas instead of coal is negated because of the fugitive methane. And that should probably be the name of a band somewhere, Fugitive Methane. So when the Trump regime came into power, one of the first acts of legal vandalism that it committed, alongside getting rid of the stream buffer zone rule, the stream protection rule, that happened back in exactly 6 months ago. I happened to see the House of Representatives do that to us, allowing the poor, put upon, beaten and bedraggled coal industry to start dumping coal filth back in Appalachian streams again, because MAGA, I told you MAGA was filthy. I told you it was dirty. Well, the Trump regime went about trying to undo the performance standards for methane capture. Now, we're told that natural gas is our key to energy freedom. Right? Yeah. Ah, okay, I've been corrected. Clarity tells me. No, Bob. The Cooks of Fugitive Methane. This would be a roots band. Okay. So I should know better. This is all so important to us, our energy independence. And yet, in places like Williston, North Dakota, up in the sludge frack patch, the oily sludge frack patch, the oil drilling area there, they weren't even interested in capturing the methane. Instead, they just piped it in. They just ran it through a pipe and struck a match at the top of the pipe and just let the shit burn. I remember as a child seeing the same thing happening, and it was kind of amazing. You'd see it happening at the DuPont plant in Bell, right along the riverside as you traveled east or west, for that matter, on US 60 or on I-64 when you crossed out of West Virginia into Kentucky. The massive Ashland oil refinery there on the Big Sandy River. And there would just be these plumes of flame shooting into the sky. Because even though that methane somehow represented our energy independence, it wasn't worth capturing and selling on a capitalist model. So why not just burn it? You know, it's the same mindset that used to say, hey, so we got a lot of mercury. We're sitting by a river. Dump the mercury in the river. They did it on the Hudson River. They did it on the Ohio River. They did it on the Mississippi. They did it on the Missouri. They did it on the Tennessee. And, of course, then there's the whole don't eat the fish kind of, right. So late yesterday, the United States Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit rat-slapped the Trump regime EPA and Scott Pruitt. You remember Scott Pruitt, the former Attorney General of Oklahoma Stan, who simply cut and pasted memos and emails that he'd get from the energy industry and turn it into official policy of the state of Oklahoma Stan. That's Scott Pruitt, yeah, who is the head vandal now at the EPA. Well, Scott Pruitt had said, we really can't be enforcing these here performance standards to keep from just randomly squirting methane up into the sky. That would be a terrible, terrible hard burden upon the poor, put upon struggling capitalist entrepreneurs and patriots of the fracking industry. Whether they be fracking for gas or fracking for oil. By the way, side note, linguistically, that's how you pronounce that, O-I-L. It's barely even a sound when you say it, southern, oil. It's more of a grunt, oil. O-I-L, oil. Just like G-A-S is pronounced gas. G-A-S-E, gas. I was going to carry Mama down to the Jitney Jungle, but first I had to stop at the Rippy Mart and get some gas. Dang car ain't running so good, so I also had to pick up four full quarts of 40 weight oil. Just trying to help here. So, Scott Pruitt, at the behest of his owners, friends, in the oil and gas industry, declared that there would be a 90-day stay on implementation of the performance standards for the capture and monitoring of methane. But not happy with that, the EPA then went so far as to... Fur, did I really say fur? The EPA went so far... The EPA continued and went so far as to say, no, what we really need to do is delay this here rule by 2 years until everybody can forget that it was ever on the books, and we'll just keep a-burning that methane because, well, hell, who cares if Miami disappears beneath the water? Some of the bigger, taller parts of the buildings probably be still sticking up, and folks can use them for fishing piers. Who gives a damn if Wall Street gets flooded? We'll just rubberize the rooms where they keep them Wall Street trading computers, and everything will be just fine. And if Boston's gone, well, fuck it. And if New Orleans is gone, well, we'll just find somewhere else for the oil drilling pad workers to go and get all fucked up and chase whores when they're off for a couple of weeks. Yeah, we're going to delay that for 2 years. Well, the Environmental Defense Fund, the Natural Resources Defense Council, and other big greens sued the Trump regime, saying that the Trump regime was actually breaking the damn law by refusing to implement a law that was legally passed. Well, yesterday, that case was ruled on. I told you this was a good news story, didn't I? And 9 out of the 11 judges who sit on the D.C. Circuit ruled that the Trump regime cannot suspend the rule for 90 days, that they cannot put implementation off for 2 freaking years. And that they must, in fact, enforce the damn law. I said 9 of 11 judges. You might be wondering, I wonder who those other two were. Really? Do you wonder? Lifetime appointments. Do you remember the compromise that was struck back during the bad old days of the reign of error of dim leader? A couple of the nominations he most cared about making sure got onto the bench were a pair of right-wing jurisprudential thugs by the name of Brett Kavanaugh and Janice Rogers Brown. And the latter, Janice Rogers Brown, whew! I mean, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Real free marketeer. Constitutional originalist. Thinks everybody ought to be wearing powdered wigs. And she an African-American and all. They both said, no, we should just let the EPA fuck things up however they want to. By not... Why should the EPA have to follow the law? Right. When the EPA said that they wanted to delay implementation of the rule by 2 years, and this was back almost 2 months ago, they said it will allow more time to actually, no, we don't use that voice. No, we use Oklahoma. It'll allow more time to review issues associated with the rule's requirements to limit methane leaks and their potential negative impact on oil and gas drilling activities. Here's the funny part. They also admitted that they were okay with making a whole bunch of children sick, too. They said, EPA believes that the environmental health or safety risk addressed by this action may have a disproportionate effect on children. However, because this action merely proposes to delay the 2016 rule, this action will not change any impacts of the 2016 rule after the stay. Any impacts on children's health caused by the delay in the rule will be limited, because the length of the proposed stay is limited. Anybody want to peel that logic like a grape? Well, the children's health is going to be limited in the way in which it is adversely affected. And, hey, maybe the little fuckers will be dead after 2 years. And then their health won't be impacted no more because little fuckers will be dead. You gotta love. And the fact that it was the Environmental Protection Agency, you know, whose name is has environmental protection in it. No, we ain't gonna protect the environment no more. We're going to try to protect the oil and fracking industry. Because there's a whole lot of people out there been attacking them. And they deserve better than that because they're patriots. And they're helping achieve our energy independence. You know, even if we do it on the backs of some little churns. Which is all right. But we won one, for the time being. Yeah. Because this is the D.C. Circuit. I mean, when you lose 9-2 in front of a circuit court, that's a pretty good indication. You know who sits on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals? You know who one of the judges was who voted to rat slap Scott Pruitt? Yeah, that'd be a guy named Merrick Garland. So since he rat slapped the EPA, don't be popping any champagne corks just yet. Because now this godforsaken mess will go up to, just a few blocks up the street and be heard by the Supreme Court of the United States, where sits Ann Gorsuch's boy. Remember, they're going to have an Ann Gorsuch display in the EPA museum now because she was the first EPA administrator ever to be held in contempt by Congress? Because she absolutely refused to enforce rules that she was told to and commanded, not asked, commanded to enforce. That one, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be an Ann Gorsuch memorial in there because, and I'm sure that mention had nothing to do with making sure that Ann's boy Neil, the guy who thinks it's okay, thinks that black truck drivers should freeze to death instead of going to seek health and safety, because that's how he ruled on that case. Yeah. Evil bastard. He's so far to the right that he makes fat dead Tony Scalia look like Voltaire. Yeah, really. But we've got a little victory. We can yell yay. At least until it gets up the hill. Right. Which is a good thing. And so, with $25 met of Shirley's Memorial Challenge this first day of August 2017, we come to the end of the filibobster. You know, when this program doesn't go for an hour, it sure does go by in a hurry. Notes coming in from both Marty and Ron and Raleigh. Marty noting, Janice Rogers Brown, black woman from California, the stupid comes from everywhere. Ron and Raleigh noting, Janice Rogers Brown, she shall henceforth be known as the notorious JRB. Oh, I don't know if I feel like giving her a cute nickname. How about Kid Killer Brown? Or how about Kid Killer JRB? Because that's how she voted. Fuck them kids. We got gas to drill for and oil to drill for, and we got to achieve energy independence. Fuck them kids. Kid Killer Janice Rogers Brown. Yeah, that works for me. Does it work for you? Conversation radio is just not quite the same. Without the conversation part. And so as we move toward the break, I invite you to engage in the aforementioned conversation. Okay? You know how to reach the program. Works for some people, doesn't work so well for others. Let me sit here and make sure that everything is all copacetic. Yeah? And we'll go there, and we'll look there. And, yeah, we're connected to the stress line is connected to the gizmo. And so, consequently, it's ready to receive your calls. So, too, is the, other line, 304-574-8178. And Skype is ready to receive your calls as well. Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B. KincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. Any of those will get you into the program. Note coming in from GK. Hey, Bob, it sure would be a subject line, filthy repuclicans. Sure would be nice if the filthy right-wingers, the god-nuts and the like, could limit their population control methods to themselves and leave thinking people the fuck alone. I'm just saying. Yes, definite cowbell for that. Yeah, they're not so crazy about contraception of the unborn, but by the same token, if you want to poison some poor kids, because it's always poor kids who live next to the frack pads and shit like that, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, they're poor anyway. It's not like they can be of any use to God. I mean, Jesus didn't even like the poor, did he? Oh, wait. Well, fuck him, too. Right, right. So, light up the phones if you want, or else you get more Titanic Tuesday filibobstering, because, oh, the stuff is there. There's a treasure trove out there. But I like the conversation better, and let's see if we can knock down... the remaining $175 for Shirley's Memorial Challenge. Pretty please? Please? Because we got to get it all knocked down, if I'm going to walk away from all of this for a whole week. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid, and we'll be right back. Ooh, a hair ballad.
Another night slowly closes in, and I feel so lonely. Touching heat, freezing on my skin, I pretend you still hold me. I'm going crazy, I'm losing sleep. I'm inching, fiving way too deep over you. I can't believe you're gone. You were the first, you'll be the last. Wherever you go, I'll be with you. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Whenever you need someone to lay your heart and head upon, remember after the fire, after all the rain, I will be the flame. I will be the flame.
Watching shadows move across the wall, I wanna run to you, I wanna call, but I've been hit by lightning. Just can't stand up for falling apart. Can't see through the spell across my heart over you. You'll always be my.
It's Tuesday, August 1, 2017.
The company says killing the project will save you the $7 billion it would have cost to finish it.
South Carolina nuclear plants canceled.
Authorities ordered visitors to leave, which means vacations have been cut short.
North Carolina's Outer Banks are out of power. Humanity is on track to blow past 2 degrees Celsius of global warming. Some coastal towns will see effective inundation within 20 years. Plus, blowback as Trump threatens to protect Alaska's environment.
Vote for my health care bill or the environment doesn't get it. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I had former Vice President Al Gore on the show to promote his sequel to An Inconvenient Truth. After all, there's no better way to show you care about the planet than sitting in a theater with the air conditioner blasting while drinking out of giant plastic cups.
Yep. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, during the recent healthcare insanity in the U.S. Senate, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke threatened Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski that the Trump administration would retaliate against Alaska if she voted against the Republicans' repeal scheme. And they were going to retaliate by protecting the environment?
Yeah, they were going to retaliate by blocking her pro-oil agenda for Alaska. However, as chair of the Senate Energy Committee, Murkowski controls Zinke's budget and confirmations. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he can block Murkowski's massive new energy bill that is now on hold in the Senate, in which she seeks to expand oil drilling in Alaska.
A lot of politics, a lot of people trying really hard to not do the right thing.
Two new studies warn that we are on track to blow way past the target limit of 2 degrees Celsius that nations agreed on in the Paris Climate Accord.
Oh, great.
The two separate studies, using entirely different methods, project that based on current emissions policies, there's a 95% chance that the planet will warm more than 2 degrees Celsius by the end of the century and could potentially warm as much as a catastrophic 4 degrees Celsius. The new projections are part of an emerging scientific understanding that governments are not ramping down emissions fast enough to avoid really dangerous climate impacts.
So it's almost certain that we're going to exceed this 2 degrees Celsius target by the end of the century, correct?
Yes, unless we reduce emissions faster than we are doing.
And that seems very unlikely at this point.
Another blow to the troubled U.S. nuclear energy industry. In South Carolina, utility companies Santee Cooper and Scana Corporation announced on Monday they will halt construction of 2 new nuclear reactors at the already existing VC Summer Nuclear Power Plant. That occurred after problems with the design of the reactor caused persistent delays and massive cost overruns. No decision yet on what that means for customers who've been paying in advance for years for those 2 unfinished nuclear reactors.
But the good news, they're saving taxpayers $7 billion for what you have described many times as the world's most expensive way ever invented to boil water.
In North Carolina, tens of thousands of tourists have been ordered to evacuate North Carolina's Outer Banks at the height of the summer season, but not because of a hurricane, for once. Officials say construction crews building a bridge accidentally damaged all 3 underground power lines from the mainland, cutting off all electricity to the remote barrier islands. Only those with off-grid energy resources can remain.
Oh, like people with solar?
Yep. Last week, we reported that the Coast Guard is planning for an overall rise in sea levels of about 6 feet by 2100. But a new study from the Union of Concerned Scientists warns many U.S. coastal communities will be hit with effective inundation in just 20 years. Effective inundation is disruptive, chronic flooding on a near weekly basis or more due to rising seas caused by global warming. The report identifies more than 170 U.S. towns and communities that could be effectively inundated as early as 2035.
Wow.
But home buyers in Miami are apparently oblivious to these warnings. According to a new survey by the Miami Herald, 2/3 of home buyers in South Florida never ask their real estate brokers about the potential impacts of rising seas on their property or their future property values.
That's some smart buyers.
Finally, some good news. A top executive at pipeline company TransCanada says they may scrap the idea of building the controversial Keystone XL pipeline across Nebraska after all. That's due to a lack of customers wanting to ship dirty tar sands oil from Alberta. That negative outlook is not likely to improve soon. The Calgary Herald reports that oil companies in Alberta's tar sands have voluntarily given back more than 2.5 million acres of oil exploration leases because of a drop in demand and the crash in global oil prices.
So sad to hear it. For much more on all of those stories and the many we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide, please, on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Yeah, no idea where that auto-run audio was coming from right at the very end, but it's gone now, so yay. It is 13 minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday, the first day of August, 2017, and we're going to do some conversation radio. Okay? Okay with you? We still got $175 to go to meet Shirley's Memorial Challenge, and many thanks to Ralph's for being part of, along with Anani Moose and Laborman, for being part of putting that challenge out and keeping Bruce's memory alive via Shirley's Memorial Challenge. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Nani, and thank you very kindly to Laborman for coming up with the idea in the first place. Thank you all very, very much. And over to the Skype line, and who could it be? But yes, it's Silent R. Lamar. Hey, Lamar.
Hey, how are you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm pulling for your vacation, man. You need a day off.
I need a couple. Thanks, but yes.
Yeah, you work too hard. But, you know, I'm going to get back to what you said a couple of things earlier, but what came across with me, when you were talking about the EPA.
Yeah.
It's funny. Nobody remembers that the Republicans changed a lot of laws and rules in Congress to allow these people to do these things. The frivolous lawsuits. I'm like this. If you're going to pour mercury into the water and you make somebody sick, they should be able to sue your ass.
You know, that kind of stands to reason, doesn't it?
But see, there's nobody's talking about our lawmakers. This is why I get highly upset when people start talking about certain things. I say, the president is not the man. It's the Congress. They make the damn laws. They, under Bush, I mean, like I sent a couple of little blasts out stating, I would love for the next Democratic president to come in and start removing these Republican laws.
Well, you know, isn't it interesting that it seems ever so much more easy for Republicans to undo Democratic things than it is for Democrats to undo Republican nastiness? I don't know if you noticed this or not,
yeah.
But do you remember back in the reign of error of Dim Leader, when you'd turn on the TV and every time you did, there'd be some goddamn Republican sitting there going, "Well, what we need to do here, Fred, is we need to make the tax cuts permanent." And they did
They're right, but see, I'm like this.
Wait, Lamar. I mean, that was the front end. Because the back end of it is, I turned on the TV the other day, a couple of days ago, and son of a bitch. But there was Kevin Brady of the House Ways and Means Committee, the chairman, one of the most powerful men in Congress, sitting there saying, "Well, what we need to do," he's from Texas, you know, "what we need to do here is we need to have permanent tax reform." So they want to have permanent tax reform of the permanent tax cuts. But if they're going to cut the taxes some more, then the tax cuts that they proposed under the reign of error weren't so permanent after all. Because after all, they were supposed to back then, that was as far as they were going to cut taxes. But now we got to cut them so goddamn more.
You know, I have an answer for that.
As my buddy says, that beats cats fucking.
That's true. But here's the thing about it. Greed is a bitch. And when you're a greedy and selfish, inconsiderate asshole, you die that way. Lonely and broke. Because the situation is this. Let them have their tax cuts that they want. They rely on the middle class and the poor to feed their greed. And when they kill us off, who are they going to go to? Like Roosevelt did. He saved capitalism from itself.
Yeah, but remember, Lamar, there is a shit ton of poor folks for them to feed off of. I mean, look, if they managed to wipe us out, there's a few billion they can make, that bring over from China that China won't mind having come here.
China's not coming over here, man.
No, immigration, you know, just open. Look, I mean,
why would you go somewhere where they're going to kill you the minute you step off? You better off staying where you're at. At least you know the battleground.
Oh, because it's still America and it's still the land of opportunity. And if you buy a sleazy condominium for $400,000 from Jared Kushner, you get a free green card. That's better than a magic decoder ring inside your Captain Crunch.
That's true. I give you that. But when you come here and you're only making $30,000 and they're demanding $70,000 in taxes from you, how are you going to survive? They're gonna have to wall us off to keep people from leaving. This is why they want the wall. They don't want the wall to keep people out.
By the way, speaking of the wall, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but we were talking about the EPA a few minutes ago. The EPA declared that it would need to waive some environmental rules in order to get the wall built faster.
Well, you know what? Like I say, if they were to remove a lot of laws that give these corporations fair game to us and allow us to attack back, that would change. Because you know what? If you could get sued for poisoning the water in somebody's neighborhood, would you do it?
Well, you can get put in jail for poisoning the water in somebody's neighborhood because you're not a corporation.
But even if you were a corporation, that's what I'm saying. If a corporation, if they want to do eminent domain and take your land, and then they run this pipeline through there and they poison the other car, sue the shit out of them. Bankrupt they punk ass for what they did. But the Republicans have kowtowed to their masters to put barriers to keep them from suffering that repercussion. First thing, if you ever witness, like I say, I hate to see Republicans come into office because every time they come into office, I lose some type of civil right. I lose a right. Now I'm watching them take the right of us to exist on a continent that we are supposed to live on. I mean, all the attacks and all the fights that we, the people, are putting up are working to a degree. But like most people, the millennials, they're impatient. They were brought up on McDonald's. You walk in the store, boom, your hamburger's ready. You and I, we're used to waiting for them to cook our food. They want their stuff when they walk in. So that means your food was supposed to be there before you got there.
Yeah, they had to know you wanted the food before you knew you wanted the food. Right.
Right. See, with that mentality, you're very impatient. So that's what they do. They wait your ass out. Remember, when we were growing up, patience is a virtue.
Used to be.
And
let's be fair. Patience is a virtue for us, not them. I mean, they're getting ready to pipeline the bejesus out of West Virginia. Nobody wants it.
Oh, I know that, but see, the point is this. If you guys had the right to sue for the damages and the inconvenience and the hardship they have
please believe me, Lamar, we know a little bit about being deprived of our rights to sue. One of the oldest concepts at law is the concept of nuisance. Okay, if you move in next door to somebody and you start doing something hateful, then the person that you're inflicting it on has a right to sue you to make it stop. It's one of the oldest concepts at law. Nuisance.
But if you bring a
coal mine and set it next to a bunch of hillbillies, they do not have the right to sue for nuisance because freedom or something. And it's been that way for more than 100 years in this state.
Well, I understand. By me being one of God's freaks of nature, I specialize in problem solving. I will let them have their way. But when they poison or do something, I will have to have a way to retaliate. Somebody needs to get up there and strictly say or write up some type of form. Yes, you can have your frack mine, but when our water starts coming out of the pipes, flames, we have the right to sue you.
But of course you don't.
But see, that's where if you were to change the legislature or the laws, you will be able to. See, the first thing they do is they come in and they neuter your ability to fight back. Then they invade. Like I had the little laugh when you were talking about the Trojan horse the other day.
Yeah.
I simply asked you, could we set that bitch on fire outside the fence?
Right.
That's my attitude.
Lamar, I like that attitude. But it is not... That is a concept referred to in the law as self-help. And one is not supposed
to resort...
Well, they have it if they're willing to go to prison for it.
Well, that's the other side of the coin. Change the damn laws to where you can... protest and right now they're changing laws the way you can't protest. They're writing laws right now to let the people run your ass over if you have a problem with some big corporation doing something. We're watching it happen now. We the people should stop that bullshit, because once they take all our abilities to defend ourselves, we're defenseless. And they have been systematically removing our ability to defend ourselves since Ford. Clinton didn't help us at all, but they've been systematically taking our defenses away from us. And that's one of the other reasons why the rest of the world wondered, what the fuck is wrong with America? Right now, we're considered a sick country, which I understand from what they're talking about. We're supposed to be the proud and the brave. All we have on radio and TV, you got to be scared of this. We're not the home of the brave. We're the home of the chickens. And then we got chicken shits running the company.
I'm not going to argue with you. There's nothing for me to argue with.
Well, I wish you would try a little.
Well, no, why? I agree with you. I agree with you. It's just, look, this country, more than anything else, yeah, we're home of the land of the free, home of the brave, yeah, bullshit. What we are is the home of the stable. The rest of the world looks to us as a model of stability. Because the American people will take anything that is done to us. And, we'll get real pissed off and we'll get a bunch of people to go and walk in the streets and hold up signs for a few hours on a Saturday. If they get really pissed off, they might knit some hats. They're not going to sit down and say, we're not leaving. And they're not going to stay for Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, because then you get Occupy Wall Street, and we saw what they did to Occupy Wall Street.
But see, right. But you know what? If they hadn't had the rules on the books, they wouldn't have been able to do what they did to occupy Wall Street. So you know what, Bob?
They didn't even use rules they had on the books. The shit that they were doing to occupy Wall Street was arguably illegal.
But see, the point is this. Who came out to protest against the treatment? Nobody. Because everybody had...
There were shit tons of people like, protesting. Lamar, what are you talking about?
Well, protesting... I understand protesting. But how many lawsuits were brought up?
It's really immaterial.
Well,
you can't file a law. You cannot file a lawsuit if there is no law upon which you can hang your hat.
Well, if you own public property and you're not.
Well, it wasn't, though. Zuccotti Park was not public property.
Okay, it wasn't public property. Then they should have parked on public property.
And if you park and in that neck of the woods, if you're on public property, you're in the streets. And if you're in the streets, you're creating a safety hazard and you're demonstrating without a permit.
Well, see, I understand what you're saying. We're gonna go around and around on that one because I agree with you.
But there is some form of access.
Bob. There was some type of form of access to that property that has to go through public right of way. I know that for a fact, and they cannot do it adjacent or directly from the public street. They have to have a public sidewalk.
And if you impede that, they can bust your ass for that, too.
But see, they can bust your ass for that, but they can't get you on trespassing and other little trivial bullshit. I don't want to get into the law because that's your field. I'm not a lawyer. I'm an architect.
I'm not either. I'm not a lawyer either. I just happen to have had a cup of coffee in law school.
Yeah, well, I've had a little bit. I got buddies who are lawyers. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. There are ways and means to do shit. It's just the problem is this. You've got a lot of people out there who want to lead the resistance who should not be leading it. Because they come up with ideas that is going to get the resistance crushed.
Well, but Lamar, the resistance is always going to be crushed. You don't resist because you think you're not going to be crushed. You resist because it's the right thing to do. And like I said, our illusion or our reputation for stability is what the rest of the world admires. You know, because we haven't been torn apart by violent revolution every 15 or 20 years, no matter how much of a hard-on the idea gave Thomas Jefferson. Okay?
Create that for the rest of the world.
Exactly. Look what's going on, and that's precisely my point. Look at what's going on in Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed that lately?
American influence. Man, America, like, remember when I told you I would not renew my passport. When we first started talking, I had a passport. And I told you, if they're going to get me, they're going to have to come here and get my black ass, okay? I'm not going to travel abroad. Because what I've noticed lately, our State Department, even under Obama, would not tell people where they should not go. That's an inconvenience, and that's not taking care of your American people. There's no way in hell I would allow Israel or any of those countries to talk tourism at any time while they're in turmoil. That's bullshit. And since America does not pay for its hostages, that's more dead Americans who could have been saved without being in another era. And take the kids who got done up in Korea, not the one that died on the way back, but the other one. If we were actually teaching cultures of other countries, that child would have known not to do anything like that in the first damn place. I've been overseas, and I've seen how the American people act over there. Scares the shit out of me. Because if they find out I'm American, I get to die, and I'm black. So nobody's going to blink an eyebrow about my ass being shot dead. That's why when I was going over there, I went to the country where gun control was legitimate. If you have a gun, you're dead. You can have guns in these other countries. As long as you keep it in your house, there's no problem. The minute you step outside your door, they're going to shoot your punk ass. And they're not going to ask no questions. And they understand that. That's why they take knives and cut your ass up. I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't mean to go like
well,
that.
Well, no, that's okay. I'm just trying to figure out where we're going, Lamar. You know, my point is that the how can I put this? Let's look at the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 1960s.
I lived through it. Yes.
They didn't show up dressed in their Sunday best. They didn't show up and just walk down the middle of the street in Selma and carry signs, and that was the end of it. They knew they were facing violence. And at places like the Edmund Pettus Bridge, yeah. that was shown in brutal form. But protest in this country, Lamar, has become stylized. All right?
Yes, it has.
It's an event. It's a thing.
Yes, it is.
And so
I'm not trying
to dismiss the efforts involved with this. I've been saying this for an awfully long damn time. Having events where mm-hmm. people show up for one goddamn day and are gone, show up on Saturday and gone on Sunday, show up on Friday, gone on Saturday, are not going to be an effective vehicle for significant change because it doesn't apply any pressure to the powers that be.
You're right. You're correct 100%. Because back in the 50s and 60s, those people were willing to die on the street. It was not just a movement. It was the opportunity for them to kill millions of colored people as well as white people and have their bodies riddled in the street, and they did not want that on their hands. So they kowtowed, backed up, and allowed it to go forward. Right now, they know that you cannot spend but one day away from work without being fired. Because think about it.
Precisely.
Right now, right now, they have us at the point where if you want to go get a job under the reign of terror or damn leader, they passed a law stating that you can't get a job unless they run a credit report on you. That's some stupid shit. What the fuck would you need a credit report when you're trying to get a goddamn job to get a job to work to get your credit right? That's control.
It's also capitalism. That's data. Data is
yes,
value.
It is.
Data is money.
Right.
Or our money,
right.
Depending.
But see, we, the people, again, like I must say, are going to have to start pushing back harder. But don't push back like we've been pushing back. Push back differently. They expect what we're going to push back because they've had 35 to 40 years of Reaganomics, and we've always pushed back the same fucking way. Push back differently. And the two reasons, I can give you one reason why they don't like Bernie and they don't like Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth is going after their hold on how they can control the pushback. Everything is money-wise. And if you limit the supply of money or redirect it, see, I wouldn't try to stop them. I would just redirect their money. And that would piss them off because then they had to figure out a way to redirect it back, which would take them about the same amount of time as me redirecting that bullshit. As long as you keep the money out of it or you can make it seem like it's such a major issue. But right now, this country has been divided. You got them and us. And what's really so bad about it, a lot of the people on the us side don't understand they're not part of them. But they want to be one of them. And they're doing everything to help the us to be of them. And the thems are not going to let them in. So we can't get above. We're like crabs in a bucket, to put it in layman's terms, man. Every time somebody looks like they're going to get to the top, some asshole pulls him back into the bunch of the bucket.
Yeah, and it's not the guy outside the bucket. It's some asshole crab in the bucket.
Yeah,
what did Pogo say? We have seen the enemy, and he is us.
Is us. You got that right. I mean, there's so many sayings out there, Bob, that reflect the situations that we're in. I mean, America has been dumbed down. And like I have with my associate, you know, I also teach at the high school. And I've said this to you. When the last time you seen two professors have a fist fight?
Yeah, we discussed this. The more education, yeah. Right.
Right. The more education you have, the less violent you are. Everybody's talking about, why are we so violent? Well, we're violent because we've been dumbed down. We're dumbed down to where we don't critically think. If it requires more than 5 minutes of serious thinking, everybody needs aspirin and they're mad. Now they're violent. I mean, like I told my students, I said, television is based on a human being's attention span. 15 to 30 minutes if you're good. This is why you get commercials every 10 to 15 minutes. Because your attention span is not that long. And now we have a leader whose attention span is 3 minutes at the max. We're really screwed.
Seriously?
Can't remember what your name, huh?
Yeah, seriously, Fred. Screwed. Okay, so yeah. so we have recounted, Lamar, where we've been. And we've got a pretty good idea where we are.
Right.
What is it? I mean, you mentioned people can't protest for more than one day because they'll lose their damn jobs.
Right.
All right. I'm right with you right there. So That means we recognize that the so-called prosperity of America is in many ways a set of velvet-lined shackles. Instead of fire hosing people in the streets and setting dogs on them, we'll give them a home mortgage and a car loan to pay on, and a job that they have no rights to, that they can't sue over, that they can't protect, that they can't have a union to help them keep.
I'm glad you said the magic word, union. That was the magic word. Ronald, damn his fuck punk ass Reagan, made sure that the American people could not unify. Because they've set forth to destroy the union. Because if you go back and look at history, if the teachers union went out on a strike, the transportation union followed, the steel workers followed, every union followed behind one union. Crippled the shit out of these oligarchs and these rich motherfuckers. So by them dismantling, they even sit there and they tell us, by dismantling the unions, that's going to hurt the Democratic funding. That's bullshit. It hurts the American people from unionizing and coming together to fight for one cause.
And you know but Lamar, you know when that happens? And I say this based upon not a deep understanding, but a passing familiarity with American history. The union movement was a response to the brutality of naked capitalist labor abuses. Just like the New Deal was a response to the rampant abuses of economic abuses of the 1920s that brought on the Great Depression. That made necessary the reforms of the New Deal. out of which we get things like Social Security. Okay?
Correct.
The American people, and I don't even like saying this because it makes me sound like I want people to be hurt. I do not. I wish people would come to their senses all by themselves, but history suggests, not just in the United States, but globally, that people only rise up, working people, only demand better when they have been so thoroughly abused that they have no other choice. Okay? Now, as long as the cable stays on, as long as America can keep its cable bill paid, there's always going to be a choice. Well, we can't afford food. Well, we can't afford food. Wait, Lamar, wait. We can't afford food, but we can watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? We can't afford food, but at least we can watch Here Comes Honey Boo Boo Child. We can't afford food, but at least we can follow Trump's Twitter feed and see what kind of crazy shit he's talking today. It's all reality television. Everything is reality television. Last night, I was talking, I think it was over on the Malloy program, about the fact that that we have in the form of things like CPAC and Netroots Nation and Politicon, we have the reality televisionization of politics itself, our means of operation. And so that becomes not a matter of life and death, but another goddamned entertainment. There's a phrase out there, Lamar. It's called amusing ourselves to death.
True. I'm not arguing that, but see, you bring up two good movie references. RoboCop and Running Man. Okay? Perfect example. Killing People was a goddamn game show hosted by Richard Dawson. Okay? But see, getting back to what you're saying, it's like with the unions. The reason they were fighting like they was because people were pushed to that point of there was no way out. And people who were not even in the union were being protected by the union and all this other stuff. And then it really became an issue that the unions were demanding only one thing: treat the workers fair. That was it. And if you really take a good look, Bob, like you say, in history, they have slowly removed everything that the labor unions have put up. First example, 40-hour work week. They don't even want to give you that. They want to make you work 60. 55 was developed because at the age of 55 years old, you need to get out of the workforce and let some younger people come into the workforce. And we provide you until you die. The average lifespan after you retire is 30 years maximum. And what really gets me, these assholes in Congress right now want people to work to 72 years old. There's no fucking coal miner or concrete layer or anybody in construction who's going to work to 72 fucking years old.
Okay, let me just engage in a little storytelling for a minute, because you just brought something up, and I keep meaning to tell this story. It's just tucked away in my mind.
Shoot Bob.
Don't shoot Bob. No, really, don't shoot Bob.
I mean, preach, Bob. Let me rephrase that. Preach, Bob, preach. I want to hear this story, Daddy.
So, you know, the Social Security Act is passed and signed into law under FDR.
Correct.
I just happen to have a family history that my grandmother, who was born in 1894, worked on most of her life, most of her adult life, especially after she retired from teaching.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother was born in 1901.
So it's kind of scattershot, but it's fascinating reading because the people that she knew, and she knew a lot of the people that she was writing about.
Mm-hmm. They do.
She would add little comments, you know, not snide, not snarky.
Insight.
Yeah, just, you know, just a little one line. And there was this Kincaid, and she knew him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in telling his story, she may, and there are, like, for instance, there's a Lonnie, I think his name was Lonnie Lee Kincaid. And there's just one sentence, killed in the in a slate fall in the mines on Gawley Mountain. Now, this is the 1920s. I mean, there was no big million-dollar settlement for his family after he was killed in a slate fall in the mines on Gawley Mountain. They just said, tough luck, dragged his body out if they could recover it, stuck it in a box, and sent it back to the family for burial. Tough shit.
Yeah.
Because that was what that time was. Well, also in the 1920s, there's another Kincaid in this family history.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, and I can't remember his name, and shame on me, because he deserves to be remembered.
It's okay, Bob.
But he died, no, let's see. He was a carpenter all his life.
Uh-huh.
And he built many houses and many barns. And he died at the age of 74 when he fell off the roof of a house he was working on for and gives some guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
He broke his neck and lingered for a week before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And left his septuagenarian wife, a widow, with absolutely no means of support. That is the America that the Republican Party wants to take us back to. Where there is no social security, there's no social safety net, and you, by God, work until you're 74 years old and fall off a fucking roof and break your fucking neck and die in fucking misery.
That is true. I'll give you that. They also want to drag your kids into it, too, with child labor. Let them go out there and get their fingers and be dismembered and unusable later. Kill them before they're 20. Hey, they love that idea.
But
see, I'm like this, Bob. If, okay, take your boy from West Virginia. He don't live, the miner dude, he don't live in West Virginia. He doesn't live nowhere near the water supply that he's polluting. I'm like this. Pump that shit into his house. Just like Obama did with these assholes when he passed.
Oh hell! Look what happened! Look what happened to a fracking executive in Dallas, Lamar.
Oh, when they went to his backyard and he said, "Fuck that shit! I love it."
Yeah, I don't. Hey, man, I make money off this. I don't want this shit in my backyard. This shit's poison. I don't want to die for this.
But see, I hate to say this. Did the liberal media, which is not liberal, report on that? Hell the fuck no.
Yeah, well, they did. I mean, that's how I learned about it. Come on.
Well, you heard it what, from MSNBC the week they had...
No, I think I actually read it in a newspaper.
Well, then you're lucky because 90% of the American people do not read newspapers. This is why they got to go to online.
No. I read it online on a newspaper. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But I mean, your point is well taken. But unfortunately, we're running up against the end of the program because we're only 2 hours tonight. Lamar, I've enjoyed the chat.
Oh, that's right. You're going over to Mike. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I will call you over there, but I got some work I need to get out the way.
Well,
but
you know, man,
I'm like this.
Work interrupts all our fun.
Nah, when you're in the summer months, I'm my own boss, so I can bullshit. And a lot of times when I call in and talk to you, I come up with some hell of a lot of designs for other people. That's why the reason why I call here, because I'm doing a senior citizen project for senior housing. And you talking to you, I just came up with a bitching idea for a one-room apartment, for one of the apartments.
Yeah, with no roof that a 74-year-old can't fall off of.
You got it damn right, because first you got to get over the parapet, which is 5 feet, but your arthritis is going to stop your punk ass.
Lamar, you have yourself a good evening, my friend.
You too, buddy. I hope you enjoy your vacation, man.
I hope I get to go. We'll talk soon.
Oh, you're going to go. Believe me, you're going to go.
Going to try.
I'll talk to you later, buddy. You have a good one.
All right, later now. Bye. Our buddy Silent R. Lamar calling from the L.A. area. And there it is, Robert in Australia writing, retire at 65, die at 72. Here in Australia, the retirement age for men was set at 65. For women, it was set at 60. The reason being that at the time, the average lifespan of a male was 72. So you got the old age pension for 7 years, on average. Now, with the average lifespan increasing into the 80s, the government wants to move retirement to 72. Because retiring at 65 and living into your early 80s makes you a burden on the economy. It's not about you enjoying a few extra years of retirement. No, that argument, but see, that's a manifestation, Robert, that's a manifestation of the American disease metastasizing in Australia. Because we get that all the time.
Well, we need to raise the retirement age for Social Security. People are living longer.
Not working people. And if I can dare engage in some of that hated, you know, by the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade in that hated identity politics. There was that story a few years ago that said white males of my generation, you know, late boomers, early Xers, that we're dying real early. And it's, you know, it's statistically real. It's a thing. Yeah, that kind of puts the lie to the whole everybody's living to be a lot older. And tucked away in that is the objection to people paying for to we the people via Medicaid, Medicare, things like that, paying for nursing home care. Agnes and I were talking the other day. I said, she was watching a TED talk about a theory that, and I think the term that was being used, there's always some attempt at a new term, a new way to describe something without using old words, because that's where the money is. Co-housing, I think, was the term. The idea that a couple of families would actually live together. And the theory was that that actually promotes harmony and promotes longer, healthier living. That somehow or another, when we actually interact with non-family groups on a regular, daily basis, that we live better lives. You know, you can sort of take it back to what Paul said about the early Christian church. We held all things in common. You know, communism. But I looked at Agnes and I said, you know, one way to solve this problem is to finally look up and say, hey, the nuclear family experiment has failed. Human beings are not meant to live this way. There's supposed to be two or three generations under one roof. One generation looks after the next. And when that generation gets old enough, it steps up to the plate and takes care of the generation that took care of it while taking care of the next generation following behind. That is the success model of the vast majority of the human experience on this planet, the only one that we know of that's ever had a human experience on it. At some point in time, it's okay to say that experiments fail. And the nuclear family experiment, instituted after the end of the Second World War, as a means of promoting a consumerist economy, a consumerist capitalist economy, an economy of waste, an economy of isolation, an economy of control, while all the while calling it freedom, the nuclear family experiment has failed. And maybe it's time to get back to thinking about how we do as a species, how we have done the best, and what is and has been most successful for us. Just a thought. Big, big, great, big, giant thanks going out to Jill in Illinois. In one fell swoop, Jill just met Shirley's Memorial Challenge, the $175 that remained of it. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill. This program brought to you by Jill and Fab. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Thanks to all of you who support this program. Thank you to our subscribers. Thank you to our nightly contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who, in whatever way you so do, participate in this ongoing conversation. Thank you so very much. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve from Georgistan, Midweek Utility, Pinch Hit, chat room moderator, and all-around great guy. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN. On Twitter. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Remember, let's all listen. Well, I mean, I won't be listening, I'll be doing. But if you choose to listen to me subbing for Malloy, please listen via the Progressive Voices app, even though we will have the horn and head on live streams going. Okay? Thanks, everybody. See you in about an hour.